Let's get to where God is speaking a little bit here in the Word. And it starts in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible said, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Comest thou to me?" In other words, I'll paraphrase it. You got to be kidding me. You mean to tell me you want me to baptize you? No, you ought to baptize me. But what did Jesus do in verse 15? "And Jesus answering said unto him, Permit it to be so now." The word suffer means to permit. Permit it to be so in the old King James. "Permit it to be so now, for thus it becometh us." Notice the word us. "To fulfill all righteousness." Or in other words, John, we have a job to do. We have got to fulfill all right standing with God. Notice that. "To fulfill all righteousness." The Bible said, "Then he permitted him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove." I just want to make this announcement. The Holy Ghost is not a bird. You'd be surprised. Some people take that out and say, that's, and they say, "Oh my God, a dove, man. That's the Holy Ghost." No, a dove is a bird. I understand. I even eat them. They're good. Don't look at me weird. Some of you have too. But see, the Holy Spirit descended as a dove. So the Holy Ghost is not a bird. I want to make that announcement tonight. He descended as or like a dove and lighting upon him. Notice that. Now I'm dealing with hearing the voice of God. There's seven ways in which God speaks to people. Actually, there are a lot more than seven, but God gave me these seven, and I'm going to deal with these seven. And I'm going to ask you if God's ever spoken to you this way, doing this message, and I believe you'll be blessed by it. Notice this, descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." That's one way God speaks to his people, through an audible voice. I mean, God hollering from the throne, "Hey, that's my boy." How many of y'all like to have God talk to you like that? Hold your hand up. You like to be walking and you hear him say, "James, oh, George, Susie, Melanie." And you say, "Yes, Lord." How many of y'all love to hear the audible voice of God? Hold your hand up. Physically hear it with your ears. Maybe you already have it. You don't know it. We'll find out in a minute. Now, that's one way God speaks to his people audibly. Now, I like that kind of way. Now, you got to understand something about God. He was so proud of his son, Jesus, that Jehovah forgot himself. He was sitting on the throne and he's just watching, you know. Here he goes, boy. Hallelujah. John, go baptize. But look at John arguing with him. "Shut up, John. Just baptize my boy." John said, "No, no, you bet. John, I done put it in the book. You're supposed to baptize him." Like, come on. You can hear Jehovah thinking these things. Come on, man. Because, you know, it's wonderful to see someone baptized. How many of y'all been Catholic at least once? Hold your hand up. All right, hold your hand up. And you go, how many of you been to a christening? Isn't that beautiful to see that happen? You're just sitting there. Now, we have something in Louisiana called Godfather. In fact, it's in our laws. In other words, if someone dies, the godfather, the godparents of that child has more legal right to those children than the grandma or the uncles or the aunts or anything of that nature. That's a law in the state of Louisiana. Your God, that's your godfather. Now, some people have taken that to the point, "Hey, how you doing? I'm sick." You know. So God, Jehovah, sitting on the throne, saying they're going to baptize my boy in a few minutes as soon as John quit arguing with him. Finally, Jesus said, "Baptize me, John." So man, John just baptized him. What did he baptize him in? Well, first he baptized him in water. He baptized him in the name of the Father. That's what he did. Boy, he just put him under. Or some people, they'd sprinkle, have you. I'm not going to get in a homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, doctrinal dispute with you. I'll just tell you this much. Jesus was wet. When it was all said and done, okay? Leave it right there. Glory to God. All right. And God got so excited that he started hollering from the throne. And people heard him, man. He went, "Hey! That's my boy!" Ooh, I got to watch myself. Whoa, wait. I got to watch myself. God got so excited, Jehovah the Father, at his son's baptism, just like you do when you see someone baptized. Or maybe when you was Catholic and you had your baby christened, you go, "Whoo, something to see." That God literally start hollering from the throne. Isn't that one? You can astonish God. You can make him holler while the world will hear him talk. So how do you excite him? By obeying his word. Now that's one way God talks to his people. And people love to hear that. And I've had the Lord speak that to you. I've heard the audible voice of God many times. We're going to get into those things in just a minute. But I want to deal with that. Let's read verse 17 again. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. How many of you would like to have that report about you? But God would say, hey, Jesse! Gabriel, look at my boy, Jess. I am well pleased with that boy. Now, I have learned how to talk to Jesus. I have fellowship with the Lord. People always talk to me and say, well, how do you pray, Brother Jesse? Most of the time, not like most people do. I just fellowship with the Lord. I say, hello, Jesus. He said, hi, Jesse. You notice both our names start with a J. There's something spiritual about that. I hadn't figured it out yet, but there's something spiritual about it. This is my beloved son. And he like, see, I'm not the son of God, but I am a son of God. And I know the Lord loves me. There's times he wants to get close to me. I can tell he wants to hug me. So I say, come on. Just come on. I can just feel his presence. And then sometimes I just want to talk to him. He'll ask me, what do you want, Jesse? What do you need? You know, he's real strong. What do you need, Jesse? I'll supply all you need. I go, nothing. I done forgot. I get around you, I forget. You El Shaddai. You're not El Cheapo. I mean, you are El Shaddai. I mean, you God, that's more than enough. I mean, you know, I just come to say, hello, how you doing? What's going on? I just talk to the Lord like that. Sometimes I laugh at the Lord because God is a funny person. Look at some of the people he made. You know he was funny. Praise God. I mean, you can see that. You know, he's got a great sense of humor. He picks 12 guys that nobody today would pick to be on a staff. He had some weird people working for him. He had one guy would preach to you, slap you, and cuss you, and cut you. And he picked him to be the head of the 12. His name was Peter. He had a guy named John that Jesus would go sit down and John go put his head on his chest. Weird. Weird. Kind of weird. Think about that. James and John were called sons of thunder. Jesus go to preach to a place and they didn't like the way the people have treated Jesus. They said, get out the way, we'll call fire on him, burn these people. Whoa, God said, time out, boys. Now don't get too bad on us. How many times you want to burn a few people yourself? Say, Lord, I don't like this person. Let me just pray. I'll hit them so hard they'll think it's the Holy Ghost. I make them an offer they can't refuse, you know. You know, I don't care how spiritual you are, you're still in this corruptible vessel. He said, Lord, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, I'm dealing with that. I'm setting this thing up to go into these seven ways. But you know, I don't care if God speaks to you. At times, you don't want to hear his voice. You want to hear the devil's voice. Because your flesh is mad about something. I had some people do me something wrong not too long ago. I mean, they kind of aggravated me. And you know, I have got some people saved under my ministry that are of the persuasion of organized people. You understand? I'm talking family people here. Family. I happen to have one of the great mafiosi sons of the father got saved under my ministry. That's a blessing of God to get saved and bless his son. Well, you know, you got to understand how these people think. You got to understand how they think, you know. So he owed me a favor. He's in debt to me because his son is off drugs. His son's off all this stuff. So he comes to me and he says, Reverend Duplantis, I want to tell you something. I appreciate what you did for my boy. You understand? I said, well, thank you. He says, if there's anything I can do for you, ain't no problem. You name it. You understand? We can do anything. There's a lot of things we can do you can't do. And I thought about those people done me wrong. I wanted to tell them, I tell you what, I want you to go down there. I want you to get some responsible people, you understand? I want to break a few legs and a few, I don't want to kill them, but just break a few legs. Get some responsible people, don't get carried away, you understand? And tell them, don't mess with Jess. Now, I believe and I know if I'd have said that, no problem. Then it went, no problem, we got some responsible people. We take care of this stuff. And I never forget the son. He said, "My father, all he has to do is say something." Now, if I mention this man's name or mention the family he come from, you've heard of him. One of the New York Five. Big, powerful. So every time I get in the flesh, I think about calling and say, "Oh, this is Brother Jesse. I want to talk to the man. I want you to go down and get some responsible people. I want you to make them an offer they can't refuse. You understand?" But I can't do that. How would I ever get that man saved? Now, in his mind, he's indebted to me. You got to understand how he thinks. And all he's got to do is go repent after it's over with. Because that's how you taught. It's called confession. Well, don't look at them weird. How many of y'all went to confession? Or you went first, your confession, then you went to communion, then you went sin. You did the same thing. Okay, I messed up last night with that woman, but I'll go down there and say, "Father, forgive me. I've sinned last night since I messed up. Okay, give me a rosary." I'll say, "Oh, Father, in the name of the Lord." Oh, hail Mary, the Lord. Trying to get through. I'm not making fun of the Catholic Church. What I'm saying is a lot of times people think like that. And some of these people think, "Hey, I got a preacher on my side, you understand? If somebody try to whack me or something, you know, I got somebody to take care of me, pray for me. If I go to hell, get me out." Now, you laugh about that, but that's the mentality. See? So there's been times I think about them people, and I just want to pick up a phone and go, "Hello." Well, the Lord said you can't do that. Why? Because he didn't come to kill. I said, "I'm not asking to kill him. I told you to get some responsible people. Break their legs. And one arm. Leave one so he can eat, but break the other arm." No, you can't do that. See, Jesus, in fact, that's what James and John asked Jesus to do. "Get out the way, I'll call fire down for him, burn the place up." They wanted to kill him. I'm talking making major hits quick. But Jesus said, "I didn't come to kill. I came to give life. And that more abundantly." Now, I want you to get your pencils and your paper out so you can get this. I set this thing up called hearing the voice of God. Now notice this as you are getting your paper. Notice this in verse 17. "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." God has just finished speaking. Notice the next verse in chapter 4. The next thing you hear about is the devil. Did you notice chapter 4? All of a sudden the devil's on the scene. You know why? Because the devil heard God talk. Notice this. God speaks to his son. The next verse you get was then when Jesus led up in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after the hunger, and the tempter came to him. Notice this. Immediately when God spoke to his boy, the devil heard that too. The next voice you're going to hear after you hear the voice of God is the voice of Satan. You remember that. Because he comes to stop what the boy said. He wanted God to be unpleased with his son. Think about that. Notice that. That's not just put in there chronologically. That is a reason for that. Now, I want to deal with seven ways in which God speaks to his people. And number one, God speaks through scripture, number one, as you read or as it's revealed to your mind. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many times you've read a scripture and all of a sudden one day you was reading it or someone quoted it and it just leaped off the page or it just exploded out of somebody's mouth and you went, "Whoa, glory to God, I got that." How many of you have ever experienced that? See, that's one way God speaks to his people. That's why he believes in all of us reading his word or devouring his word, really. So God speaks to his people through scripture as you read or as it's revealed to your mind. And there's been many times I have read verse and verse. I might have read that same verse 14,000 times, it seemed like. And all of a sudden when I read it, that last time, like that brother was just talking, all of a sudden I said, "Man, God, is that what you say?" Yes, that's exactly what he is saying. So God speaks to his, speaks through scripture as you read. Now, you know, you got to understand something about me. I love to read the word of God. I thank God that I was educated enough to read. Reading is is a phenomenal, beautiful concept to read and be educated through reading. And a lot of times I'll read my Bible on a plane. I either going to read a Bible, a magazine, or a USA Today, something of that nature. But every once in a while, you know, I'll get my Bible out and start reading. And when I start reading the Bible, I don't read it like this. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was not form and void, and darkness, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the water. Dark was on the face of the deep, and God said, let there be light, and there was light." You know, just reading, blah, 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 blah. You know, just, you know, I'm going to read 5 chapters a day. Well, hearty, har, har. How many do you remember? How many do you understand? How many is the revelation of knowledge given to you? So that's time when I pick up my Bible, and I had a man sitting right next to me in the middle seat. I happened to be in the window seat, and I just turned it to the book of Genesis, because that's my favorite Old Testament book, Genesis. My favorite New Testament book is the book of Ephesians. Oh, I like that book. Glory to God. I see my name all over that book. Hallelujah. And I just enjoy that. But anyway, so I just opened it up. I went to page one of the Bible, page one. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was out form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the waters. And God said, let there be light. Actually, he didn't say let there be light. He said in the original Hebrew, light be. And now that was not the sun. You understand? That's not that sun you see burning out there tomorrow morning or whatever. No, no. That was God releasing himself into nothing. And out of nothing, who would he hang something called the earth in you? So God is light, and in whom there's no darkness, no shadow or variable of turning. Think about that. So God releases himself into nothing and out of him, because everything you see, touch, smell, taste, and eat. So he first has to release himself, because he is the creator. So I'm sitting on that, and I've read that verse. My God, I don't want to exaggerate, but I don't know how, a bunch of times. Thousands. Every time I've read the Bible, it seems like I just always think, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So I'm reading there, and all of a sudden it just leaps off the page, and I look at the man next to him, and I went, whoa, glory! And he just looked at me. What's the matter? I said, God just created the earth! Look! Now, I didn't mean that to do. It just came out. It was revelation knowledge. It wasn't evolution. It was revelation. And he went, ooh, man, you into this? I said, no, it's into me. He said, you seem excited. I said, yes, I am. I am possessed. I seen the guy, whoa. I am possessed, mister, with a Holy Spirit. Oh, man, it just leaped off the page to me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was not form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the waters, and God said, and I looked at that word move, and I love it in the Hebrew. It doesn't say move. It means fluttered. Boom, man, he begins to create. And that's how all of you get saved, because the Holy Spirit is fluttering on top of your head. Right there, that creating factor of that Trinity. It's moving on top of your head. And all that Holy Spirit is waiting for Jehovah to say, light be. My God, when God says, light be, that Holy Ghost goes in you. And you're born again into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Woo, glory to God. He's fluttering tonight. Waiting to be moved, waiting on command. God couldn't do nothing until he said it. Notice that light couldn't come into existence till he said it. But that Holy Ghost is ready. He said, I'll create a new one anytime God talks. So if you've got a family member that's lost, it's their tough luck. They are related to you. You got the promise of your family down to 1,000 generations, and you can't live that long. My God, that Holy Ghost is fluttering and moving and waiting for a command. And all you got to say, God, all your promises are yea and amen, which means yes and so be it. And God will look at that sinful husband or that uncle, or that grandpa, or that daddy, or that daughter, or that son. And he'll look at him and he'll go, ooh, he'll start breathing. Ooh, and every time he breathes, something comes alive. And he goes, light be. Wham! That Holy Ghost goes in there. That old drunkard comes back full of the Spirit of God. Got the new wine of Jesus Christ in his life. I love it. So how does God speak? He speaks through scriptures. One way, as you read or as it's revealed to your mind. Now, number two, he speaks to your spirit, hearing the voice of God. Here's the second way God speaks to his people. He speaks to your spirit through an inner witness. Now, I want to deal with this for a minute. What do you mean an inner witness? Let me give you a prime example of what happened to me. Years ago, one time I got up and, you know, everything was going so good. It was wonderful. The ministry was doing great. My personal life was doing great. Everything was going fine. To tell you the truth, I thought, man, what a great day. But I got up and I had that heaviness on me, that kind of bleh feeling. I don't know how else to speak. Just, you ever been there? Bleh. I mean, you're not sick, you know, or anything of that nature in terms of physical symptoms that you can see in your body. But all of it, you just got this heaviness on. You got to, blah. So I got up and I had that feeling, I want to call it. It was kind of inside, just, blah. So I began to rebuke the devil. I said, get out of here, devil. I come against thee in Jesus' name. I bind you. The Bible said if I bind the strong man, then I can enter into his house and take his possession. I bind you, devil from hell. I said, get out of here. But it got worse and worse. Blood, just heavier. There's nothing wrong with it. Ministry doing fine. Personal life doing fine. Everything, business life, social life, public life. Everything's going great. Great. But something was happening, and I didn't realize what it was. So I start binding the devil. I mean, I must have bind. I bind for about 35 minutes. I had more knots in that rope than you could shake a stick at, son. I bind. You find the Lord said, Jesse. Then I knew that voice. I said, what? He said, what do you do? You're binding me. I said, I'm binding you. He said, yes, I am using your spirit right now with utterings and groanings that cannot be mentioned. That spirit of God, me inside of you, is using your spirit to make intercession. And there was nothing wrong with me. There was nothing wrong with the ministry. There wasn't a thing wrong at all. But all of a sudden I had that kind of heaviness feeling. And what happened was the Holy Spirit was making intercession through my spirit with utterings and groanings that could not be mentioned. And here I am binding God, thinking it's the devil. How many of you have experienced such a thing? Hold your hand up. Not as many as the first. That's good, good. See, God speaks to his people through an inner witness. Sometimes it'll happen to you on a song. You're singing a song, and it ain't cooking. It ain't moving. You know, it's kind of like you trying to get that beat and the whole congregation going. You stop and say, shut down. I'm up here. You out there. Okay. Is that right? Is that how you do it? What I'm saying, God speaks to his people through an inner witness. To your spirit, through an inner witness. See, here I'm thinking, the devil's trying to make me feel bad. And what I'm thinking, I automatically begin to bind the devil when it's God making intercession through me, through the personages of the Holy Spirit, with utterings and groanings that cannot be mentioned. In other words, that my intellectual ability cannot understand. I don't know who God was praying for through me. Might have been somebody in China. Could have been that brother in Siberia going over that wasteland. Could have been you. Could have even been for me. But all of a sudden, I felt it lift. I went, I realized that God was using me, speaking to me, speaking through me for someone else, maybe even me. Hearing the voice of God. Number three, God speaks to your soul or your mind, your will or your emotions. This is usually done through a person. Have you ever had anybody come up to you and say, I'll tell you one thing, bless God, God gave me a word for you. How many of you have ever had that happen to you? God's given me a word to you. Now, this is talking about hearing the voice of God. The first thing your mind goes, and you judge it. Well, let me hear what this man got to say, Jack. See, because sometimes God go beyond your spirit and deal directly with your mind and your soul. Your soul is the mind, the will, and the emotion of man. The reason why God loves the soul, because the soul is where the decision is made to recreate the spirit of who you are, the real you. So watch this now. Number three, he speaks to your soul or your mind, will, and emotions. This is usually done through a person. Immediately, your intellectual ability, you say, well, let me judge this thing to see if it's of God or if it's not. So you say, give it to me. Usually by a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, something of that nature. And immediately you don't go, oh, what's God say? You might get excited. Oh, I'm glad. But boy, you're listening intently. And if there's something just the least bit off, you go, because you're trying to intellectualize this. Now, let me give you a prime example. I had a little young preacher come up to me one time. He said, Brother Jesse, he just blubbering all over himself. And I thought, what's the matter with this kid? He said, Brother Jesse, I just love your ministry. I tell you one thing, you've helped me so much. You're such a blessing to me. I said, well, thank you. I'm glad you. I tell you one thing. I just want to be like you. I said, stop. You don't want to be like me because I make mistakes. You want to be like Christ. He don't make no mistakes. I said, but I thank you. He said, you know, Brother Jesse, I don't know if this is the voice of God or not, but God's got a word. God, I believe God gave me a word for you. And I thought, in my mind, I thought, okay, son, give me what you got. First thing I was going to do is whatever a preacher does. Well, if this is good, I'm going to put this on the shelf. And if it works, fine. If it don't, it'll fall off the shelf. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. You've done the same thing. Okay, give me what you got. Let me see if it bear witness with my spirit. So this kid just come up to me. He said, I believe God. I don't know, Brother Jesse, you judge it. And I said to myself, I certainly will. I didn't tell him that, but I said, I certainly will. I said, well, go ahead, son. Give me what you got. What the Lord got. What the Lord told you for me. And he's nervous. He said, I don't know if it's God. I'm just young in this stuff, but I just want you to listen to it. I said, okay. He said, the Lord told me to tell you that the devil can't stand before you. You run over him. You kick his head off. Wow! I said, you just run at him with everything he's got. You beat his brains out. I thought, this kid has got it together. I'm going, come on, boy. This bad way. He said, he runs over you. You just run over him. You bust him in the head. My God, he sticks his ugly head up. You just nail him and bind him and walk on and go do the things God told you to do. He says, that bear witness with you? I said, son, that's revelation, knowledge. You all right? He said, but I tell you what else God told me. God told me this, that the devil quit getting in front of you and he started getting behind you and he started pushing you saying, come on, boy, preach, Jesse, preach, sleep. Why should you sleep? You're a faith man. You don't need to sleep. There's people dying and going to hell and you trying to rest your body. What's wrong with you? Get up, go preach this gospel. There are people dying and going to hell right now. And I tell you what, then get out there. You don't need to sleep. You don't need to rest. There are people dying and going to hell. Preach this gospel, heal a sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. He said, you see, Brother Jesse, the devil can't defeat you in front of you, so he's got behind you and he started pushing you. Is that right? His kid was on the button. So the devil said, my God, Jesse, sleep. And I was averaging, 2 hours a night, 2.5 hours a night. You know, I had my first Sunday off last year in June, preaching the gospel since 1978. That's a lot of preaching. Ooh, I've given people a revival in the day. I've preached 5 times on Sunday before. Kathy had to just pour me in the bed, beat to pieces. The next morning, just up preaching. Get back, body going, He said, so the devil won't get in front of you no more because you beat him up. So he's got behind you and pushing you. Brother Jesse, you won't complete your ministry until you learn how to rest your body. See, God speaks to your mind. See, God couldn't talk to my spirit about it because my spirit said, charge! Devils, where are they at? Dead people, we'll raise them. Sick people, we'll pray. Beat the brains out of the disease of people's lives. Charge! Kick the devil's head off. Let's go! Move! He said, so let's talk to his mind where the fatigue is. Then I realized, and I had several ministers in whom I esteem highly in the faith would come up to me and said, the Lord told me to tell you to sleep. And Kathy would tell me, why don't you rest? Rest, woman! Rest! Rest is for the weary! She said, Jesse, you're 40 years old and you look 50. Rest yourself. I said, okay, I'll sleep. How long did I sleep, Kat? 3 minutes? 5 minutes? All right, I'm ready. Chest pains and things begin to happen. Things of that nature. I thought, I don't care. I'd rather burn out than rust out. Come on. God couldn't talk to my spirit. He dealt with my soul on it. He said, it's time for you to sleep. Rest yourself. Jesus wearied with his journey. What's wrong with him? Ain't he that man of faith? See, a lot of ministers never complete the destiny God wants for them because they think they're doing God a service. When actually the devil's got behind them, pushing them, because the spirit can take way more than your body can. So number one, he speaks through scripture as you read or as it's revealed to your mind. Number two, he speaks to your spirit through an inner witness. Number three, he speaks to your soul or your mind, your will and emotions. This is usually done through a person. Because notice when a word of knowledge comes, or a word of prophecy comes for you, first thing your mind does, let me check this out and make sure it's right. Well, that's good. And if it's not, we'll just throw it on the shelf and just go on about our business. Well, first thing first, you got to understand, when you're speaking for God, you better be careful what you say it. You're handling the holy things. Now, you should not develop your life on a word of knowledge. I have never built my ministry on the gifts, and I move heavily in the gifts of the Spirit. I built my ministry on the Word of God. You understand? See, God does not deal with the spectacular. God deals with the supernatural. Man deals with the spectacular. The spectacular brings glory to man. The supernatural brings glory to God. Every time there's a miracle, there's nothing wrong with cameras. You get somebody through a miracle and they say, get the cameras, get the cameras, get the cameras over here. Okay, woman, now watch out. Do something you couldn't do. Woo! Isn't that wonderful? Glory! Glory! That's great and wonderful. But the problem with that, that brings glory to man. Jesus didn't deal with that. He dealt with the supernatural. He'd heal people, raise them from the dead. He'd say, see that you tell no man. Shut up about it. In other words, he said, it's going to get out anyway. And he said, oh, you great miracle worker. And he stopped him. No, it's not me that doeth the works, my Father in me. Why? Because he didn't deal with the spectacular. He dealt with the supernatural. Remember that. And you can understand ministries and the motive that are behind them, even though they're great ministries and good ministries. What is the motive? Why is the miracle being shown on television? Or spoke about on radio, or wrote and printed page? Is it to show people that by Jesus' stripes they are healed? Or is it to show that this particular person has a healing ministry? Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. See, but God speaks. So words of knowledge is not the word of God. Even though they may come from God and they can change your life and give you great direction. And it's a blessing of the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. But what I'm saying is, he speaks this and usually it's done by a person and your mind picks up on it. See, and you check it out. And if you don't know the word of God, you can listen to a deceiving word and live a lie and not realize it. Jesus said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, number four. Let's talk about hearing the voice of God. Y'all enjoying this? Amen. Now, let me ask this question. How many of you people have had a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom given to you by someone? Well, your mind was checking it out. How many of you had that God was speaking to your spirit through an inner witness? You didn't know what it was, but there was a heaviness. And all of a sudden it lifted. And you realize, hey, God was using me. How many of you have been spoke through scripture as you read the word of God? Or is it revealed to your mind? Okay. Now, number four. Let's watch this. God speaks to you in dreams and visions. Now, this is done at quiet time. Now, this is my personal opinion. If you don't believe this stuff, you don't have to on this. But I personally believe it takes more faith or a closeness to God to have a vision than to have a dream from God. Because, see, visions are done in a conscious state. Dreams are done in an unconscious state. In other words, when God gives you a dream, there's no fighting going on to get you to listen to what he's going to say. Because you're asleep, man. But a vision is a totally different thing. He's got to take your mind off the natural that's going on around you, see. Because visions come in the conscious state, and God dreams come in the unconscious state. Now, let me give you a prime example. How many of you have had a dream from God? God has spoken to you through a dream. Hold your hand up. And that one of these are seven ways in which God speaks to his people to hear his voice. There are other ways, but God gave me this seven, and you listen to it. Now, I've had dreams from the Lord. One time, I was dreaming, and my God, I was preaching a sermon. I mean, spit was flying, Jack. I was shucking the corn, like they say. I was preaching. I was saying this. You got to energize and immobilize and finalize. When you understand the word of God, I could see myself preaching. I said, you'll energize, you'll mobilize, and you'll finalize. Did you hear me? Won't somebody run around this place? Somebody. I tell you, energize. And I woke up, and I was standing up in the middle of my bed, and there was a ceiling fan hitting me on the top of the head. And Kathy said, get down, fool, and just knock me down. Boy, it was a dream from God. I saw myself preaching. And my God, and I mean, I'd stick my hand out and it'd be right perfect between the blades. Energize! Give all life! And whop, whop! Enough to knock my brains out. Thing just hit my hair like this. Standing up in the middle of the bed, Kathy woke up and said, look at this idiot. Get him! And sure enough, it wasn't long before that. Not long after that. I was preaching that sermon. I was in that tent. Spit flying, sweat slinging everywhere. Glory to God. Energize, immobilize, and finalize. Walking it. I saw it in a dream. And God said, you will speak to these people this. It was a dream from God. God speaks through dreams. I mean, you have God spoken to you through a dream. Hold your hand up. So there's all kinds of ways in which God's speaking to his people. He that hath an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. Now, how many of you have had a vision from God? Not as many. Why? Visions are totally different from dreams. Visions come in the conscious state. You could be playing a song, you know. The anointing and whoop, gone. Now, your fingers are still working. Your mouth still singing. But you somewhere else. all of a sudden you're seeing God. God's saying something. Now, I've had visions. I'll never forget preaching one time in my home church. My pastor asked me, he said, Jesse, would you come and preach? And this was the day when I first started preaching, when you'd preach for a Dr. Pepper to drink. Money, offering, hang it up, Jack. You get 50 cents, shout. You just trust God to die, man. It's tough out there. I mean, it was hard. People say, we want you to come. We can't promise you nothing. And that's exactly what they promised us. Nothing. Got nothing. Well, in fact, I preached a meeting and Kathy said, I came back on, remember that, Kathy? They said, did they give you an offering? And I was so mad at them. I said, they gave me a Dr. Pepper. I thought you'd get mad and say, them stinking cheats. Greedy, no good piece of trashes. You know what Kathy said in that wonderful spirit? She said, well, thank God you wasn't thirsty. I said, yeah. Yeah, I guess I wasn't thirsty. God speaks to his people through dreams and visions. This is usually done at quiet time. So what happened was I finished preaching that morning and I had to preach a Sunday night service like I did today. And to make a long story short, the pastor, he said, Jess, instead of going to the hotel, we didn't have a hotel. They had no money to buy a hotel, you understand? Forget that, Jack. He said, why don't you come to my house? He said, I have a little guest bedroom and you can just lay down an hour or so before the service if you'd like to rest your body. And I said, yeah, I think I would. So I go into this room and I'm talking about you could sit down, put your feet out and hit the wall at the same time. I mean, it's a small room, understand? There's no such thing as double beds. It's called single beds or mattress on the floor. I mean, that's just what it was. I had this big Siberian dog. I hated that dog. Well, I love the dog, but the dog would just come up to you and go, I mean, he's a big one, a big husky white dog. I mean, like a heater. So I'd say, get out of here, man. The dog name was Caleb. Caleb was his name. He just love ice, man. You drink something, he go, so you have to take your ice out and give it to him. He said, so I mean, I'm trying to keep my drink going. He go, it's my ice. Okay, it's your ice. Yeah. I mean, remember that dog, cat? That was a dog, man. But you'd sit by him and he'd just sit there. He'd go, just breathe on you, make you sweat, stink, bad, bad breath, dog. I mean, you know, I didn't like him. I loved him because he was, but I didn't like that. And he would carry his food around. He'd grab a bucket of, not Alpo, that dry food, Purina dog chow. And he'd just pick it up and he'd come sit by it and hold it. So I'd reach for his bowl and he'd go, Which meant, you want to draw back another, boy? Don't jack with that food. They had a cat there too, and the cat would come by and the dog slapped the cat with his tail. Pow! Cat go flipping over there. And the cat go to get close to the food and you hear that dog go, Don't touch that food. And if you're drinking something, you had to give him all the ice. He would look to see if you had ice in your glass. If you don't believe it, you call Pastor Frank Bailey, Victor Church, and he'll tell you the same thing. Couldn't drink nothing. So I get in there, so I locked the door so Caleb wouldn't come in there and breathe on me. You know? So I sit down, now watch this, I'm about to ready to have a vision from the Lord. I'm talking about hearing the voice of God. Now watch this. So I sit down on the bed and I lean over to take my shoes off. And all of a sudden, I'm on clouds. And I saw my aunt. Her name was Elsie May, who had passed away, I guess 2 months before that, from afar off. I was having a vision, not even realizing what God was doing. And I looked and she was far, far out. And she was saying, Jesse! 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 And I went, hey! That's Aunt Elsie! I went, hey! Hey! Because I'd been to a funeral. It was about 2 months had passed since she had gone on to be with the Lord. But we didn't know if she was saved. And she said, tell him I made it! Tell him I made it! And I went, hey! Hello! And then I saw my grandfather come walking up. Now, this was his daughter. And I loved my grandfather because he died when I was 11 years old. I mean, he was my incredible Hulk. My grandfather. I'm the smallest one in my family. I mean, I'm a little guy. You understand? See? Glory to God. But my family is big people. I mean, you know, and he wore a size 15 ring. I mean, he had fingers this big. I mean, just huge, man. He called me Little Jesse. Mama got him saved 7 days before he died. God, Mama got him. Glory to God. And he went, his name was Gilesh Estee. See, I'm a Cajun boy. My real name is Gigi Duplanty. I'm a Frenchman. Do you? I don't look French because there's somebody in the woodpile and we never asked. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know how bad. Hey, don't look at me weird. You probably don't check yourself out. We're all a bunch of whoever. We don't know what we are. I'm supposed to be kind of olive skinned and dark eyed a little bit. But I picked up somebody's jeans. I don't know what, where. Anyway, my grandfather walked up to his, and he put his arm around my Aunt Elsie, who had just passed. I called him Papa. I said, "That's Papa." I went, "Hey, Papa!" He said, "How you doing, little Jesse?" I went, "Hey!" I was so excited. My grandfather, oh, I loved him. All of a sudden, I seen this man come up, stand behind him. And he had white hair like mine. I mean, kind of combed it like mine. He looked at me, and he said, "You look good." And I said, "Thank you." "Who are you, Jack? I don't even know who you are." I never seen this man before. I didn't know who he was. And he said it again, "You look good." I said, "Thank you." And then I took my mind. I said, "I don't know this dude. Who's this guy?" I looked at my grandpa, my Aunt Elsie. And all of a sudden, I come to myself. I'm still leaning over with my shoelaces on my, my hand on my shoes. And I think, my God, man, what's happening? See, God speaks through dreams and visions. Well, I finished preaching that night, went home. Catherine must have been about 2 weeks later. My Uncle Raymond, that's my mother's brother, comes over to my house. I happen to be in town. So Kathy cooked a little breakfast or something. We was eating at the breakfast nook. And I say, "Uncle Ray, I want to tell you something." Now, this is going to sound nuts, but I just want to tell you something. He said, "What?" I said, "I saw Aunt Elsie." Now, this is his sister. See, my mother had seven sisters and brothers, eight together in her family. He went, "What?" I said, "Uncle Ray, I know it sounds nuts." And I went through the whole story. I said, "Man, I was preaching to Pastor Frank's church. I went, I laid down in the bed and I leaned over on top of my shoes and boom, man, I saw Aunt Elsie. She was hollering." He said, "Hollering? What do you mean?" I said, "She had her hands cupped to her mouth." And I said, "She was far off." And she was saying, "Tell him I made it." And when I said that, he busted out in tears. He was praying, "Oh, God." He didn't know nobody. "Oh, God, that my sister made heaven her home. God, she was a wonderful person. She was a blessing." But we didn't know if she was truly saved or born again in her heart. And it just brought such comfort and peace to my uncle, this is his sister, and my mama's brother. And I said, "Uncle Ray, I saw Papa." He said, "You saw Daddy?" Now, this was his father, my grandfather. I said, "Yeah, man." I said, "I saw him, man. It's great, man." Boy, and I could see my Uncle Ray and go, "Wow." I said, "God, man, it was a vision." I said, "But Uncle Ray, there's some white-headed dude, man, got hair like me, Look, just come. I don't know who he was." And he said this, "Hey, you look good." He said, "Well, who was it?" I said, "I don't know. I ain't never saw him." So we kind of finished eating our breakfast there, and we kind of went and sit in my den. And, we had this big, huge family album thing, got all those pictures in there. And, all your relatives, those pictures, they all look poor, don't they? You got it hanging off the side of a barn door. All black and white, I ain't never saw one wealthy relative. All them pictures look bad. Hanging onto a shovel next to a mule. Some old rinking up old woman, that's your great-great-grandma. My God, that's an ugly woman. Ain't a tooth in her head. How many of y'all got pictures like that? Hold your hand up. You got pictures in your album, you don't even know who they are. They say, "Well, who's that?" "I don't know, they got in here somewhere, I don't know. Let's look on the back of it, see what it is." "I don't know who it is, they just glued it in the album there." Then you get some old woman, "That's your great-great-great-great-great-aunt that died of pneumonia when she was 89 years old, born in 1736. You go, "Oh yeah, yeah." And they all look poor. I never saw one wealthy picture in the whole album. Hanging off, pants half hanging on, No belt, busted shoes, a hat half sideways. So my uncle was looking through that and he sees this picture. Now we got black and white pictures that I don't know who they are. I have no idea till today. He pulls out this picture, to tell you the truth, I never even saw it. I don't even remember seeing it. It was in there. See, my mother had passed away, and I got some of them old family pictures that they stuck in my album. He said, "Jesse, is this the man you saw?" And I looked. I said, "Yeah, that's the guy. That's him, man. That is the dude. Who is that?" He said, "That's your great-grandfather, Grandpa Ostino." He said, "That's my grandpa. He was the first person to ever get saved in his family, and because of him, all of us are saved today." He said, "Jesse, he had hair just like you. White." He said, "You know what? He died. He saw you born, and 2 weeks after you were born, he passed away." He said, "Jesse, I remember him holding you about 3 or 4 days before he died." And he said, "He looks good." I said, "You heard him say?" He said, "He looks good." He said, "I heard him say that to your mama." Now, this is my uncle, my mama's brother. He said, "Your boy looks good. He looks good." So when I see him, I've never seen him before. I don't know who his name is. His name is Grandpa Osano. See, he goes, "Hey, you look good." Now he sees the man, Jesse. And he saw me in 1949. I was born July the 9th, 1949. I'm 43 years old. I look 50, but it's the television lights that make my hair white. And he saw me, well, he died 2 weeks after I was born, so he saw me between the 9th and the 20th and held me. I don't remember. I've never seen this man, but I saw him in a vision. God speaks through dreams and visions. Now, how many people have had a dream and how many people have had a vision? You see, God is talking to you, and you wonder if God's saying anything. Number 5. God speaks through the chain of command by the Holy Spirit. This is another way God speaks to his people. Through gifts of the Spirit. You might hear this. "Thus saith the Lord thy God." Or you hear this. "The word of the Lord would say concerning you." You would get a message in tongues and an interpretation of tongues. Or you'd get a word of prophecy. See, God speaks through the chain of command. Now you got to understand, all this is coming from Jehovah Elohim, Yahweh. It is birth in the Father. He speaks it to the Son. The Son speaks it to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost speaks it to you. You speak it to the church. It's a chain of command. God the Father. The Father is the heart of God. The heart of God is the Father. The face of God is the Son, Jesus. The voice of God is the Holy Ghost. But the hand of God is the church. So what happens is Jehovah, the Father, wants to speak to his people. So it comes out of his innermost being. It is spoken to his Son, Jesus. Jesus, who loves us, speaks it to the Holy Ghost, who is on the earth. You got to understand, the Father and the Son, Jesus, are not on the earth. They're at the throne of God. Jesus sitting on his right hand. But the Holy Spirit is fluttering, brooding, moving on the earth. So what happens is Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh, says, "I have something for my body." Speaks it to Jesus, because you can't see the face of the Father and live. But Jesus says, "Oh, a wonderful word, a wonderful commission to my bride and my body." He speaks it to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost moves upon the people. The Holy Ghost speaks it to a man or to a woman. And then the woman or the man speaks it to the church. How many of you have heard God speak in this manner? Tongues and interpretations? Prophecies. Hold your hand up. And you just knew it was God. It just shook you to your shoes. That is number 5. And I love it when the gifts of the Spirit, and when people say the gifts of the Spirit are not in operation today. Well, they haven't been what I've been. They haven't gone where I've gone, ma'am. Because I realize that the heart of God is the Father, for God so loved. That's the heart. The face of God is the Son, Jesus, just to look at him. The voice of God is the Holy Ghost. Ooh, that energy, that creative power. But the hand of God is the church. That's how you get a song to sing. See, your song services are already designated by the Father Elohim before you ever pick that guitar up. He says, "I think I want to hear the anointing falls on me." Comes out of the heart of God. He says, "Jesus, would you send a message to my servant?" Jesus said, "No problem. Holy Spirit, move upon him." You get it. And then you start singing the anointing. And then as he sings it, man delivers it to the church. And brings people all back to where the throne. It's a complete cycle. Understanding worship. That's a 2-tape series you ought to get. I don't know if I got that on that table back there. But brother, that is one of that's the best you'll ever hear. Not because I preach it, because God gave it to me. To understand worship, you have to have adoration, admiration, fascination. Good stuff. So get God's attention. That's just three of the points. I'd tell you the fourth, but I don't remember it. But it's powerful. I need to go hear them tapes again. I preached that 8 years ago. God, I need to hear that again. Full cycle. So God, number five, speaks through the chain of command by the Holy Spirit. Now, you've heard that happen in churches. Number six. Now, this is the place I want to get to. This is where everybody wants to hear. God speaks audibly in your ear. You physically hear the voice of God. And I don't doubt that many of you have heard the voice of God audibly speaking, but did not know it was God. Thinking it was somebody else. And yet you heard the audible voice of God. Can you give me some scripture? Yes. Does this sound like you? Watch.
Samuel. Samuel.
Oh, what you want, Eli? Boy, I almost got to sleep. I didn't call you. Yeah, but Eli, I heard you call me. I heard you call my name, Eli. I didn't call you Samuel. Shut up, boy. Go to bed. I'm sorry. This is a hard message, glory to God.
Samuel. Samuel. Sam.
What you want, Eli? Boy. I heard you called me. What? Next time you hear the voice, ask him what he wants. It's God talking to you, Samuel and me.
Oh, okay.
Sam, I want to talk to you about Eli. He got some problems. He's the boss, God. I'm just a kid. He's going to ask you tomorrow, do not withhold anything that I speak to you. You see, Samuel did not know God was speaking to him. He thought it was Eli. Maybe there's been times you drive in a car. Or maybe there's a time when you heard someone that's no longer on the earth. You said, my God, I just heard mama's voice pray. I just heard mama say, hey! You hear somebody minister, and you think, that sounds like Uncle Fred. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was the audible voice of God. But in your mind, you think it's Eli. Eli's coming. Eli's coming. Look at him. Look at him, ex-heathen. Eli's coming. Hide your heart, girl. Eli. What group is that? See, Three Dog Night. Yeah. Now notice this. Samuel thinks it's Eli. Maybe you heard your grandmother talk. You thought, man, the other day I was driving a car and I just heard my grandma say, I'm praying for you, boy. That wasn't your grandma. You just thought it was her voice. It was the audible voice of God. True example. I was preaching a meeting not long ago, about 2 years ago. I'll never forget this little fella. And his name was Mike. He's 2 years old. So the pastor suggested the services are running late. We won't be able to go to the restaurant. Would you mind coming over to my home? We've set up some food and things. We just eat something after service. I said, no, I don't mind. He said, listen, I have a couple that go to my church and I'd like you to meet them. And I've invited them. Would that be okay? I said, yeah, that's fine. So I meet this couple. And I meet them, and they introduce me to their two-year-old son, Mike. His name is Mikey. They call him Mike here. I said, how you doing, Mike? Fine. Now, this is the kid. He's 2 years old. He says, Brother Jesse, I enjoyed your sermon tonight. It really blessed my spirit and energized my soul. I'm looking at this two-year-old kid. He said, it ministered to my spirit, energized my soul, was a blessing from God. I can't wait till tomorrow night for tomorrow's sermon. What a blessing. I thought, I like this kid. sweet little boy, dressed up in a little suit, 2 years old. And I looked, I said, he's brilliant. She said, yes, he is. She said, we just love him. We prayed him here. He's sent by God. So we sit down to eat. Now watch this. So his mother says, who's very proud of her son? Mikey, would you like to say the blessing over the food, Mikey? Now he's in a high chair. Okay? He's in a high chair. He's 2 years old in a high chair by the dining room table. This is about 10 o'clock at night. We're eating some food. So she wants him to pray over the food. You know, you've seen that, like if you have a grandkid. This is her son, Mikey. She said, Mikey, you want to pray over the food? He says, I can't. Not now, Mama. Pastor Mike's talking right now. When Pastor Mike finishes talking, then I'll pray. Now, the pastor's church is named Mike. Mike is standing right by me. He ain't said a word. He goes, and little Mikey is like this. All of a sudden he says, okay, Pastor Mike, stop talking. Bow your heads. Let me pray over this food. Kid prays like this, 2 years old. Lord, bless this food. Sanctify it to our bodies. Minister to us, Lord. Lord, let it bring nutritional value to us. In Jesus' name we pray. I'm thinking, this kid is something. And he started eating. So the next night I was there, I said, Mike, invite that couple over, will you? Tell them to bring the kid. I want to talk to this kid. This kid is brilliant. So I talked to him. I said, I heard you say, Pastor, he said, yes. He said, he did this. He closed his eyes. Blonde-headed, blue-eyed. He said, Pastor Mike speaking again. Oh, that's good. Mike standing right by me. Now, what was that kid hearing? What do you think? Spirit of God talking to that boy, but in his little finite mind, it's Pastor Mike. Just like God talking to Samuel. In Samuel's finite mind, because the Bible said there was no open vision, it's Eli. How many of you have heard a voice and you thought it was somebody dead, you just heard him speaking, and you thought, my God, sounds just like grandma, sounds just like mama. I've heard my mother speak, I thought. Then I realized it was God. My mama don't need to talk to me. She's at the gate having herself a time. But you see, because she put that word of God in, you think, you hear that word of God. No weapon formed against you going to prosper. But you hear it in the voice of mama or the voice of grandmother or the voice of Pastor Rob. And it's not Rob. It's God. How many of you have experienced such a thing now that you've heard this interpretation? See, God may have spoken to you audibly and you don't realize it. You think it's Uncle Fred. And you just like Samuel. What you want, Eli? Know what I mean? What you want? God's speaking audibly to his people. Now, number 7, and I close with this. If God cannot get your attention with all of the above, of the all of what? Speaking to you through scripture as he reads, as you read or as it's revealed to your mind. Speaking to your spirit through an inner witness. Speaking to your soul or your mind, your will, and your emotion. This is usually done by a person. Speaking to you in dreams and visions. This is done at quiet times. Speaking to you through the chain of command by the Holy Spirit through the gifts of the Spirit. Or speaking to you audibly in your ear. If he cannot get your attention with all of the above, he uses odd things to talk to you like animals and lower forms of life. He'll use a horse to get your attention. He'll use a chicken to get your attention. Peter never repented until that bird started preaching. Now you think about that. He said, when the cock crows 3 times, bless God, you have done denied me. That bird went, cock, no, no, no. And Peter said, you know what that meant to him? Repent! 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 The Bible said he walked out and wept sorely. If he can't get your attention all of the above, he'll get odd things like horses and chickens and cows and pigs to talk to you. God will use animals and lower forms of life to get your attention if you not listen to what he is saying. And I can prove that scripturally. There was a prophet coming to town, and then he was riding this donkey. Slammed him up against the wall, and my God made the prophet mad. He said, I'm going to kill you. And that donkey said, what you want to kill me for? I'm trying to save your life. And that's the most amazing thing is me, the prophet's talking back to the donkey. I mean, he's got a Mr. Ed donkey. You understand? He's talking like, I'll kill you. You mess with me. Bust my leg. And my God, that donkey seeing that angel of God standing there with that sword. He said, look, Jack, I'm saving your life. Think about that. He couldn't get Balaam's attention, so he had to use that donkey. He had to use that mule or that, you know, that little burro to get his attention. God did the same thing to me one time. Woke me up at 7 o'clock in the morning. He said, I want you to go on your patio, and I close with this. Because he couldn't get my attention with all of the above. So he said, I'm going to talk to Jesse in a lower form of life. Because maybe that'll get his attention. So he wakes me up about 7 o'clock in the morning. Actually, it was about 6:30, quarter to 7. He said, I want you to go on the patio and sit down on the swing. So, I said, oh, okay, Lord. So I walked out and I went and I had this beautiful patio back there and it has astroturf on it and all that kind of stuff and that nature. You know, it's real pretty, nice, comfortable. And I had this redwood swing back there. We'd sit and sit on this and just swing, you know, on this patio. Watch this. So I sat down and I said, what do you want me to do, Lord? He said, I want you to watch that plant. I said, what? He said, that plant the Kathy likes, the one with the big elephant ears? He said, watch it. I said, watch it. He said, just look at it. I said, you mean you want me to sit here and look at a plant? He said, yeah, watch it. So I thought, well, okay. And the sunlight began to come up and it hit the patio and the plant began to do this. Now it was a big plant, one of the big green plant with those elephant leaves. It started doing this. I watched it for about 30 minutes and I saw it leaning over. I said, look at there, God. He said, what's it doing? I said, well, he said, it's leaning toward the light. He said, now get up and go turn it around. So I turned it around. He said, sit and watch it. The plant did this. I said, what are you trying to tell me? He said, I'm trying to tell you to lean toward the light. I said, you mean you got me up to tell me? He said, if the plant can do it, why can't you? Now, Kathy talked to that plant. Grow, baby. Mama said, grow. Mama said, grow. Mama feeds you today. Grow, sweetheart. Sometime I knew it aggravated Kathy. I'd look at a plant and go, what do you think of that? And the plant go. God had to get my attention by that crazy plant. And I'm going to tell you something, going to knock your socks off. He said, I want you to call that dog in. I said, Bojack? I had a little French poodle. I hated that dog. I hated that dog. He was a male dog, but Kathy had put bowls in his hair and paint his toenails. He's a weird dog, you understand? Rough, rough. I hated that dog. I didn't like that dog. Kathy loved that dog. And my daughter, Jody, his name was Bo Jacques. I mean, that dog got classy blood. His father named Bo Watley. They spent a fortune on this dog. You understand? He's a tall miniature. What's it called? A tall white poodle. What do you call that thing? A little poodle. And I didn't like that dog. I tell you, when that stinking dog, he was a heathen. He is a heathen. I mean, I caught him in the neighbor's, you know, with their dogs. And they say, Reverend, your dog's messing with my dog. I said, he's not saying, he's a heathen. I'm sorry. He's a hot little heathen. I said, come here, Bojack. And he go. And he just looked. I said, you heathen, you're going to hell. Messing around with all these dogs in the neighborhood. And he'd go. I could see it in his eyes. I repent. But the temptation was greater than he could bear. And I'd go flying and come back from a meeting, and I hate it. Because Kathy'd wake me up and says, go let Bojack out. This dog, you had to stand out there and watch him do his business, you understand? I said, I don't want to go out there and watch that dog crunch up his back and all that kind of junk. I am an evangelist. I'm on television. People know me all over the country. And they ain't going to see me in the front yard, and there's my dog. That's embarrassing. She said, listen, we have to bring him out every morning. You bring him out. I hated that dog. I said, I hate you. You understand? I can't stand your guts. This dog was so spoiled, if you gave him a piece of meat, he wouldn't chew it. You had to cut it up for him. That's the truth. He'd go, he'd just hold it in his mouth. I said, eat it, fool. And I could see it in his eyes. Kathy cuts it up for me. Hate that stinking dog. I wanted a big dog. I want a Great Dane, a Doberman Pinscher, a pit bull. Hoo, hoo, hoo. You know, not one that's roof. So I got out there, brought that dog out, and I looked around, make sure nobody, they say, how you doing, Reverend? Oh yeah, I see what you're doing there. Watching your dog, huh? I said, hurry up, Bojack. Get behind the monkey grass. You understand? My God, man. I hated that dog. And the Lord knew it. That dog could feel it. In fact, one time I brought him out, man. Boy, he... And this guy was walking, this huge pit bull dog. And Bojack saw it. And the dog, this big dog, stopped on Bojack's grass. And Bojack was standing right behind me. He went, ah. I said, what? I said, get down with your bad self, Bojack. Boy, you got some Duplantis blood in you. Go over there and take care of that boy. Bust it. Man, and that dog got all four paws on that grass. When he did, Bojack went, ha! Took off and went and bit that dog on the toe. This dog is this big, Bojack. He went, hi-ya, just chewing his toes. And you can see this pit bull like, you got to be kidding me. Look at this room. See, the dog didn't do nothing to Bojack. The dog just went, hoo! And Bojack fell on his back. Ah! 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 And the man said, I think your dog's having a heart attack. I said, get up, Bojack, get up! Attack the dog! He's going, ah! I had to go pick Bojack up. He wouldn't even walk. I had to pick him up, man. His heart going. You could see it in his eyes. Oh, thank you, man. He almost killed me, man. I brought him and Kathy said, you done made my dog. Give me a Bojack. And Kathy grabbed, oh, mama, love you, Bojack. You could just see him. I tell you what, I almost died. I tell you what. Mama, take care. You okay? Man said, I'm sorry, Reverend, for almost giving your dog a heart attack. I said, that's all right. I want to drag him by his leash through the grass. Come on. Ah! Ah! I hated that dog. I'm setting a scenario. The Lord said, call that dog in here. I said, what? He said, that dog knows your animosity toward him. That's one of my creations. I said, I don't like this dog. He said, I don't care. We sent him to you. Your wife, your daughter love that dog. Part of your family. You come and call that dog in here. And God spoke this to me, whether you believe it or not. He said, you apologize to that dog. I said, God, I ain't apologize. He said, what? You what? He said, you apologize to that dog. Well, I felt so stupid. See, if God can't get your attention with all of the above, he'll use lower forms of life to get your attention. He'll make you see where you are. So I said, okay. Bojack! And sometimes I would just freak him out. Boy, he hated newspaper. And I'd pick it up and go, bam! Sometimes he'd be sleeping. And I'd open up the door and turn the light on and show him a newspaper. Ah! And I'd close the door. I was trying to kill him, man. I'd wait till he's asleep, man. Open up. Kathy had to go in there and calm him down. You could not talk around the dog. He hated bass. We had to change. We'd have to start spelling. Jesse, I want you to catch Bojack so we can give him a B-A-T-H. He'd go, ah! Take off running, man. He could spell, man. The dog could spell. He knew our language, man. He hated the way Kathy just grabbed him by the tail, hold him up by the little tail, man. The dog, Kathy, ah! Rough on that boy. So I brought him in. He come up there. He goes, I said, Bojack, come here. He jumps up and he goes, well, you always had them crying eyes. I said, listen. He's going, I can see it in his little eye. Say it. Go ahead. Right. I said, you know I hate your guts. You know. And the Lord said for me, now whether you believe it or not, this is the truth. God made me do this. Because I was wrong to that dog. I was wrong to one of his creations. I hated the dog. I said, the Lord told me to apologize. And I could see his tears start coming out. He went like, I forgive you. I've always loved you, but you never loved me. He goes to lick me. I said, don't put your tongue on me. I don't want to speak. He goes, stuck it. I said, but look, I'm sorry. I showed you great animosity. He said, you know, I just want you to be a big dog. I want you to be mean, tough. You understand? He goes, this dog, you could talk. He understood everything I said. I know he did. And the boy, the thing had a brain, boy. So I said, listen, God asked him for being so cruel to this dog. I'll never wake him up in the middle of the night and show him a newspaper again. Give him a little heart attack. Well, Bojack's not with us because one day I was jogging. I went, come here, Bojack. And he ran across the road and the truck hit him. Ooh, Bojack. No, I didn't. But what actually did happen was I was out jogging. I had been running about 4 miles. And he was out in the front yard with Kathy. She was in the flower beds doing something. And he saw me. But I didn't see him, you know. I was coming close to my house, and when he saw me, he took off running for me. He would run. Man, that dog could run. And he ran across this four-lane highway. And I saw him coming, just like a little white ball of fur. Boy, he was hooking it. And I saw the car. And I said, stop! Bojack, stop! And he just shut her down. But the car didn't. The car didn't have to hit the dog, man. Boom! Hit the dog. He started flipping like that, and I ran into Joe and Kathy went, but the banana stuck crying. Just Bojack knocked him out, so he just hit him. He got to pray for him. Just pray for him. Take him home, Jesus. Just take him home. Help this dog. I'm sorry, huh? Hey! There's forgiveness for this. Look at this lady. I pray if Jody come driving up in her car. I mean, I got Jody crying. I got Kathy crying. Little blood's coming out of his mouth. It made me mad. The man did not have to hit the dog. It did. It made me mad. And the guy didn't even stop. So I picked Bojack up, and I knew. I mean, but thank God he wasn't in pain. And the vet said, we took him, drove him to the greatest medical seminary, whatever you call it. I don't know anything, man. The doctor said, this dog is such good, it's a shame, but he is going to pass away because I don't know what, something hit him right here. He said he never felt nothing. Recessed it. So Jody said, Daddy, what are they going to do with Bojack's body? I said, oh, they'll bury him. I said, he said, it'll cost you $40. I said, burn him in the first place. That's $5. Go ahead, Dan. I said, no, I can't do it. No. I said, no. Whatever it takes to take care of the dog. Cost me $150. I said, that dog got me right at his death for $150. Man, I paid. That's a true story. Well, they took care of him. I paid the money. And they didn't matter. Yeah, she's still mad at me about that. I did not call that dog across the road. I didn't. It's still like, well, no, I didn't know. But you see, God made me, and you'll never forget this story, it's a true story. You'll never forget. You see, God was trying to get over something to me, and he couldn't get to me. So he had to use a lower form of life to teach me something. Now think about how many times he may have had to done that to you. It's called hearing the voice of God.